Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
For leading us so well in communion there. If you would like some notes to go along with today's message, there's going to be a lot in today's message. You'll find them on YouVersion, so you'll either find them on the WhatsApp community group chat, you'll find I put a link there, or if you just open up the YouVersion Bible app and click on events, you'll see Found Church flashing red live there, and you'll get some notes to go along with today's message. Let's just pray before we get started. Father, I just want to thank you and praise you this morning for your word that you've given us, and Father, I just pray that as I share this word this morning, it'll not be about me in the slightest, but it'll be all about you, Jesus, and it'll point people to you. And Father, I just pray that you'll help me, Holy Spirit, you'll be speaking through me today, and I just want to give you all the glory in advance, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today we're starting a brand new sermon series, and the sermon series is called Ignited, A Journey with the Holy Spirit. And throughout Scripture, we see the power and presence of the Holy Spirit at work from creation to the early church and into our lives today. The Holy Spirit is there. But yet, at the same time, though, many of us struggle to understand who the Holy Spirit is and how it actually operates in our life. And in this sermon series, we want to dive into the person, the purpose, and the power of the Holy Spirit, exploring how he guides, empowers, and transforms us. And as we open our hearts to his leading, we'll discover that the Holy Spirit is not just some abstract force, but the very presence of God with us. So let's embark on this journey to know him more deeply and walk in his fullness today. And today I want to speak, the title of my message, it's quite long, it's just the person of the Holy Spirit. Understanding who the Holy Spirit is and his role in the Trinity. And let me remind you this morning, church, that the Holy Spirit is not a New Testament phenomenon. I can't even say that word properly, but there we go. It's not just in the New Testament. His presence and work have been active from the very beginning of creation and throughout the entirety of Scripture. And to limit the Holy Spirit's activity to only the New Testament would be to overlook his integral role throughout redemptive history. And you can see the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was actively involved in the world even before the New Testament era. In Genesis 1 and 2, we're told that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters during creation. The Holy Spirit was not merely a passive observer, but an active participant in bringing order and life out of chaos. And this demonstrates his role in the creation of the universe. And throughout the Old Testament, the Spirit of God empowered individuals for specific purposes. For example, in the time of Judges, the Spirit came upon figures like Samson to enable them to accomplish mighty feats. You see that in Judges 14. Similarly, the Spirit empowered prophets like Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah to speak the words of God with authority and with boldness. And the Spirit also played a crucial role in anointing Israel's kings. When Samuel anointed David as king, the Holy Spirit came upon him powerfully. And you see that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, marking a significant moment in God's plan for Israel. And the Spirit's empowerment was vital for leadership and governance, as well as for the work of prophecy and justice. However, the Old Testament also reflects a limitation in the experience of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given temporarily and selectively to certain individuals for selective tasks. But the general population did not have the same indwelling presence of the Spirit that we as Christians experience today. But the prophetic books promised a future outpouring of the Spirit that would transcend all of these limitations. And then we move into the New Testament and we see the Holy Spirit all over the New Testament. See, with the coming of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's role in God's plan of salvation became even more fully revealed. In the Gospels, we see that the Holy Spirit was involved in the conception of Jesus in Matthew 1:18. He was involved in his baptism in Matthew 3:16. He was involved in his anointing for ministry in Luke 4:18. Jesus' ministry was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he promised that his followers would receive the Spirit in a new and powerful way after his ascension back to heaven. And in chapter 14 through to 16, Jesus explains that the Holy Spirit, referred to as the Advocate or Comforter, would come to indwell and guide believers after his departure. And this new relationship with the Holy Spirit, that marks a change, a shift in redemptive history. Rather than just being a selective gift to certain individuals for specific tasks, the Holy Spirit would now dwell within all believers, empowering them to live out the Christian life and to bear witness for Jesus. And the most significant moment in the New Testament regarding the Holy Spirit is the day of Pentecost, of course, in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit was poured out on the early church in a real powerful way. From this point onward, every single believer in Jesus is given the Holy Spirit as a seal of salvation. And Ephesians 1, verses 13 to 14 shows us this. And an empowering presence for living out God's will. The Holy Spirit has always been active in God's work in the world, both in the Old and the New Testaments. It's always been there. And while his role became more fully revealed and accessible in the New Testament, especially after the day of Pentecost, his activity and presence were present throughout the entire biblical narrative. And to understand the full picture of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, we must recognise his ongoing work from creation of the world right through to the empowerment of Christians today. And when you read the Bible, you can see the Holy Spirit in all 66 books, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Let me show you. I hope you're ready. I need a drink before I attempt this. Let me just show you. I hope you're ready for this. So in Genesis, he's the creator. In Exodus, he's the burning bush. In Leviticus, he's a holy fire. In Numbers, he's a spirit of impartation. In Deuteronomy, he's a consuming fire. In Joshua, he breaks down Jericho walls. In Judges, he is Samson's strength. In Ruth, he is favor and blessing. In 1 Samuel, he's Samuel's oil. In 2 Samuel, he's David's dance. In 1 Kings, he's a fire on Mount Carmel. In 2 Kings, he's a power in Elisha's bones. In 1 Chronicles, he anoints the next generation. In 2 Chronicles, his glory fills the house. In Ezra, he's a shout of joy in the temple. In Nehemiah, he's water for your thirst. In Esther, he'll bring you to the kingdom for such a time as this. In Job, he's double for your trouble. In the Psalms, he's the oil of joy. In Proverbs, he's the spirit of wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's with us in all seasons. In Song of Solomon, he's a banner over us. In Isaiah, he's upon us because he's anointed us. In Jeremiah, he's like fire shut up in our bones. In Lamentations, he renews our days. In Ezekiel, he revives dry bones. In Daniel, he shuts the mouths of lions. In Hosea, he's patient with us. In Joel, he's poured out upon all flesh. In Amos, his mountains dripping with wine. In Obadiah, he's the deliverer of Mount Zion. In Jonah, he's the anointing of the evangelist. In Micah, we're full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. In Nahum, he's great and powerful. In Habakkuk, he works that you would not believe. In Zephaniah, he restores our pure language. In Haggai, he fills a temple with glory. In Zechariah, it's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. In Malachi, he's the open window of heaven, pouring out blessings that you cannot contain. In Matthew, he's a baptism of fire. In Mark, he's signs that follow those who believe. In Luke, he's the promise of the Father. In John, he's your helper. In Acts, he's Pentecostal power. In Romans, he's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he's the gift of the Spirit. In Galatians, he's the fruit of the Spirit. In Ephesians, he fills you with all fullness of God. In Philippians, he's the giver of peace that passes all understanding. In Colossians, he's the invisible God. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he's the sound of the trumpet of God. In 1st Timothy, he's a gift within you. In 2nd Timothy, he's power, love, and sound mind. In Titus, he renews and regenerates. In Philemon, he restores the call of God. In Hebrews, he's the gift of faith. In James, he's the anointing to heal. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he raised Jesus from the dead. In 1 and 2 and 3 John, he's the anointing that abides in you. In Jude, he builds you up in the most holy faith. And in Revelation, he is a river that flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. He's there. He is there. From Genesis to Revelation, he's there. But sadly, for many Christians today, the Holy Spirit can sometimes feel like the forgotten member of the Trinity. We know God the Father and we know Jesus the Son, but who exactly is the Holy Spirit? And what is his role in our lives and in the world today? Well, most people know here that I was saved on an Alpha course. And if you've ever been on an Alpha course, a big, huge part of the Alpha course talks about the Holy Spirit. And it's just incredible, the stuff it teaches there. But once I got saved in the church that I went to at that time, and I would ask them, hey, you never ever speak about this Holy Spirit that I was learning about on the Alpha course. And they would say to me things like, oh, we don't believe that here. And I'm thinking, Bernard, I've just been saved for a few months, and I'm thinking, how can you put this course on that tells you so much about the Holy Spirit, and then you tell me you don't believe that? How on earth can you do that? Like, it's just, like, it blew my mind. I was never ever satisfied with that answer. And let me tell you, I read the Bible, and I get FOMO when I read the Bible. Like, I'm thinking, I want to experience the stuff that I'm reading in the Bible. Like, how can I not experience that today? It's the same God. Like, so I'm reading the Bible getting FOMO, and I'm thinking, like, you don't believe that, but it's right there, so how can you tell me that you believe in the Bible, but you don't believe in this bit? Like, it doesn't make any sense. I was never satisfied. Like, never satisfied with that answer. Let me tell you, I'm reading the Bible, and just now I'm thinking and praying, like, it tells you in the Bible that they were added to their number daily. Like, so why is that not happening today? That's what I've got FOMO for that. Like, I'm thinking, come on, man, it's there. Like, the Holy Spirit is not just a vague force from heaven representing God. He is a divine person with a vitally important ministry on this earth since Jesus' ascension back to heaven. And the doctrine of the Trinity is foundational to Christianity. It teaches that God is one in essence and three in persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Understanding the Holy Spirit's role in the Trinity is essential to understanding who God is, how he works in our lives, and how we are to live as his people. So today, I want to explore three things. And we will be unpacking these things as we unpack this series. So I'm just giving you an overview today. But the three things I want to look at quickly today is, firstly, the identity of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Holy Spirit's role in the Trinity. And then thirdly, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So firstly, the identity of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is God. The first thing we must understand is that the Holy Spirit is fully God. And Scripture affirms his divine nature, role in creation, and presence in the life of Christians today. The doctrine of the Trinity teaches that God is one in essence, yet exists in three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not merely a force or an impersonal power. He is a divine person with intellect, with will, and emotions. The Bible explicitly attributes divinity to the Holy Spirit. In Acts 5:3-4, Peter confronts Ananias, stating that lying to the Holy Spirit is equivalent to lying to God. And this passage demonstrates that the Holy Spirit is not separate from God, but is indeed God himself. And additionally, 2 Corinthians 3:17 declares, now the Lord is the Spirit, reinforcing his divine status. The Holy Spirit was active in creation, empowering prophets, and working in the life of Jesus. He plays a crucial role in salvation, convicting the world of sin, regenerating hearts, and indwelling believers. And I can give you scripture references for all of that. The Spirit also guides, teaches, and empowers Christians to live holy lives. Worship and divine attributes further confirms his deity. The Holy Spirit is omniscient, all-knowing, from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Omnipresent, everywhere, all at the same time, from Psalm 139. Omnipotent, having unlimited power, Luke 1:35. He is worshipped alongside the Father and the Son and the Great Commission. The Holy Spirit is fully God, actively working in Christians' lives today. Recognizing his divinity deepens our faith and reliance on his power for guidance, sanctification, and spiritual growth. And then the second thing is, the Holy Spirit is personal. The Holy Spirit is not just some abstract power or influence. He is a person with personal attributes and characteristics. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit has intellect. He teaches and guides. Jesus promised in John 14:26 that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit has emotion. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit can be grieved in Ephesians chapter 4, indicating that he has emotions and can experience sorrow when we sin and do something wrong. The Spirit has will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, Paul explains that the Spirit distributes them, talking about spiritual gifts, to each one just as he determines. This demonstrates to me that the Holy Spirit has a will and acts in accordance with it. And then secondly, we look at the Holy Spirit's role in the Trinity. See, the doctrine of the Trinity is central to Christian theology. Central to it. While much theological focus is placed on God the Father as Creator and God the Son as Redeemer, the Holy Spirit also plays an essential and active role in both the Godhead and in the lives of Christians. And the Holy Spirit's role in the Trinity is primarily one of empowerment, sanctification, revelation, and divine presence. So let's have a quick look at each of these. And as I said, we will be delving into these in much more detail in the weeks that follow. So firstly, the Holy Spirit as divine empowerment. And one of the fundamental roles of the Holy Spirit within the Trinity is empowerment. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God is seen as a source of power and strength, equipping individuals for divine purposes. For instance, the Spirit came upon judges and prophets and kings, enabling them to accomplish their God-given tasks. Samson's strength, David's kingship, and the prophetic ministry of Isaiah and Jeremiah were all carried out through the Holy Spirit's empowerment. And in the New Testament, as we looked at already, the Holy Spirit plays a pivotal role in the life and ministry of Jesus. At Jesus' baptism, the Spirit descends upon him like a dove in Matthew 3:16, signifying divine approval and anointing for ministry. And then throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus operates under the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit, healing the sick, casting out demons, and proclaiming the kingdom of God. And after his resurrection, Jesus commands his disciples to wait in Jerusalem till they are clothed with power from on high, from Luke 24:49, referring to the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which is of course found in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit empowers Christians for service, spiritual gifts, and bold proclamation of the gospel. And then we see the Holy Spirit as sanctifier. And sanctification is another critical role of the Holy Spirit within the Trinity. The Holy Spirit works in Christians to conform them to the image of Jesus, guiding them away from their sin and towards holiness. And this sanctifying work begins at salvation, when a Christian, if you like, is regenerated or born again by the Spirit. And then the Apostle Paul speaks of Christians as temples of the Holy Spirit, emphasizing that God's presence enables a life of righteousness. Sanctification, and that just really means becoming more and more like Jesus, which is ongoing and never finishes. It's both an instantaneous when you give your life to Jesus, but then it's also progressive throughout your life. Upon salvation, the Spirit cleanses us, setting us apart for God. And over time, he continues to work within us, producing the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, from Galatians 5, of course. And through conviction of sin and encouragement towards righteousness, the Holy Spirit actively transforms us, equipping us to live holy lives that reflect God's character. Next, we see the Holy Spirit as revelator, and I'm not even too sure if that is a proper word, revelator, but it's the best word I could think of. And another important role of the Holy Spirit within the Trinity is that of this revelator, revealing truth to humanity. The Holy Spirit inspired the authors of Scripture. We see that in 2 Timothy, 2 Peter, that the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of Scripture, ensuring that the Bible is God's authoritative word. And then through divine inspiration, the Spirit guided the prophets and apostles in writing God's revelation, making Scripture a trustworthy source of truth. And moreover, the Holy Spirit continues to illuminate Scripture for us today, helping us understand and apply God's word to our lives. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would guide his followers in the all truth from John 16, verse 13, teaching them and reminding them of all that he had said. And this kind of revelatory role is crucial because apart from the Spirit, human beings, you and I, cannot fully grasp spiritual truths. And additionally, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to the world. He convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. You see that in John 16, verse 8. Drawing people to salvation. And we will be looking at that more closely next Sunday. Without the Spirit's revelation, individuals, you and I, we can remain spiritually blind, unable to recognize our need for a Savior. And next we see the Holy Spirit as a divine presence. And that, for me, it's one of the most comforting roles of the Holy Spirit, is His presence in our lives today. In contrast to the Old Testament, where God's presence was often localized in the temple, the New Testament reveals that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, making us the new temple of God. You see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Jesus assured His disciples that He would not leave them as orphans, but would send the Holy Spirit as their comforter and their advocate in John 14. The Holy Spirit's indwelling presence assures us of our adoption as children of God and guarantees our eternal inheritance. Dan was talking about that just a few minutes ago, but it's our guarantee of our eternal inheritance. He provides guidance, comfort, and assurance in times of uncertainty, acting as a constant reminder of God's faithfulness and love in our lives. The Holy Spirit's role in the Trinity is indispensable. As the one who empowers, sanctifies, reveals, and dwells within Christians, He actively participates in God's redemptive plan. The Holy Spirit is not a lesser part of the Trinity, but co-equal with the Father and Son, working harmoniously with them within the Godhead. Understanding His role deepens our faith, enables a fuller experience of God's power, guidance, and presence. And through the Spirit, God continues to work in the world, transforming lives and advancing His kingdom. He's still working and moving today. And then thirdly and lastly, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit plays a vital and active role in the lives of Christians, guiding, empowering, and transforming them according to God's purposes. And we've looked already, the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as comforter, teacher, advocate, and sanctifier, working in various ways to bring individuals closer to God. And understanding the work of the Holy Spirit allows us to fully embrace our spiritual journey and experience the abundant life promised through Jesus. And as I said, we'll be looking at these in more detail over the coming week, but let me just give you a quick overview. The Holy Spirit is our guide and counsellor. And one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to provide guidance and counsel. Jesus promised His disciples that the Holy Spirit would lead them into all truth. The Spirit directs our paths, helping us make decisions that align with God's will. Through inner convictions, the illumination of Scripture and circumstances, this Holy Spirit reveals God's plans, ensuring that His people walk in righteousness. The Spirit serves as counselor, offering comfort and wisdom in times of trouble. When we face difficulties, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to provide peace and reassurance. The Spirit reminds us that we are never, ever alone, for God is always with us, from John 14, verses 16 and 17. The Holy Spirit is a teacher and reminder of truth in our lives. Jesus told His disciples that the Holy Spirit would teach them all things and bring to their remembrance all that He had said. And this role of the Spirit ensures that we understand and we apply Scripture correctly to our lives. Through the Holy Spirit, the words of the Bible becomes alive and it becomes relevant to us. The Spirit provides insight into God's Word, helping us comprehend its significance and then also, really importantly, to apply it to our lives. We can read the Bible all we like, but if we're not applying it to our lives, then it's not going to make much of a difference. See, when we are faced with challenges, the Holy Spirit brings to mind specific scriptures that offer guidance, encouragement, and wisdom. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, from John 16. And this conviction is essential for both unbelievers, those who are not yet Christians, and us as Christians today. See, for those who don't yet know Jesus, the Holy Spirit always reveals their need for salvation and draws them towards Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit's work in their lives, individuals can remain blind to their sinfulness and their need for a Saviour. But as Christians, the Holy Spirit continues to convict us of sinful behaviours, which can lead us to, or should lead us to, repentance. Who's ever been there where you felt you've had a row? A kick up the backside for the Holy Spirit is just reminding you, "Haha, Stephen, why did you do that? Stephen, why did you say that? Stephen, why did you think that?" Like, every day. Every day. But the good thing about it, though, is the Holy Spirit gently corrects and guides us towards a life of holiness, helping us to recognise areas where we fall short and need God's grace. And then we see the Holy Spirit as a seal and guarantee of salvation. The Holy Spirit, in Ephesians 1, verses 13 through to 14, it states that believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee for their inheritance. And this seal signifies God's ownership and promises eternal life to those who trust in Him. Because of the Holy Spirit's presence, we have the assurance of salvation. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." And this assurance provides confidence and hope, knowing that nothing can separate us ever from God's love. And then we see the Holy Spirit as a source of spiritual gifts. And the Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts upon Christians to edify the church and to advance God's kingdom. And these gifts outlined in 1 Corinthians 12 include wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And each person receives spiritual gifts, not to make themselves look good or to build themselves up, but they receive the spiritual gifts to serve and build up the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are never designed to make us look good, to make us look more spiritual than the person next to us. That is not the point. The proper use of spiritual gifts requires the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And as we remain sensitive to the Spirit's leading, we can use our gifts effectively to glorify God and to bless others. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is profound, and it's indispensable as Christians. And as a guide, comforter, and teacher, the Holy Spirit leads us into truth, empowers us for service, and transforms us into the image of Jesus. Through sanctification, conviction, and the assurance of salvation, the Holy Spirit plays an essential role in our journey of faith. By yielding to the Holy Spirit's influence, we experience a deeper relationship with God and a life that reflects His love and purpose. So let me remind you this morning, the band can come back now. The Holy Spirit is not an abstract or distant force. He is a personal, divine presence who is active in the world and in our lives today. He is fully God, sharing the same essence as the Father and Son. And we are called to recognize and depend upon the Holy Spirit in every single area of our life. Every area. He's the one who empowers, transforms us, and guides us into all truth. He helps us pray. He convicts us of sin and equips us for ministry. The Holy Spirit's presence in our lives is a profound gift, one that we should treasure and yield to daily. Let me tell you, I wouldn't be able to do what I have to do without the Holy Spirit working in and through me. Like, I would never be able to go and meet people, to counsel people. I would never be able to stand up and speak. I would never be able to pray messages. I wouldn't be able to do any of that stuff without the Holy Spirit working in my life. I need Him every day, every single day. I need Him to help me to be a better dad. I need Him to help me to be a better husband. I need Him to help me to just be a better person. I need the Holy Spirit working in my life every single day. Every day. And too often we get fixed upon spiritual gifts and we think that, oh, that's just for those people. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. Like, when you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came and resided within you. And that's a starting place. If you've never ever given your life to Jesus, then we heard earlier, as Diane shared in communion, He has a glorious inheritance waiting for you. not just the promise of heaven, which is amazing, but an amazing life. Life in all its fullness for the rest of your days, with the Holy Spirit empowering you and working in you. Like, how cool is that? Like, you have a little piece of God working in you. Who wouldn't want that in their life? So you have that piece of God working in you when you give your life to Jesus, but he also wants to come and fill you up with more and more every single day. Like, and we've said it before, you might have been baptized in the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. What about yesterday? What about this morning? What about then? I don't know about you, but I pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Like, every day. Every single day. Sure, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at Clangallen however many years ago. I can't remember. But every day, I'm praying, fill me again. I need more. I need more. I need more of you, Holy Spirit, in my life to do all of this stuff. To do all of this stuff. To empower me. To transform me. To guide me into all truth. To help me to pray, to convict me of my sin, because we all need those little kicks, those little reminders. And then we need a quit for ministry. And let me tell you, ministry is not reserved for the people on the platform. If you are a Christian, you're in ministry. You're in ministry. You might be the only Bible that people read. How do you look to the outside world? Are you letting the Holy Spirit work in and through you to transform you into the image of Jesus, so that what they see as attractive to what they see as, hey, I want what they've got. Is that what people see when they look at you? Like, we need the Holy Spirit working in and through us to do that in our lives. So I would encourage us today, may all of us be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, acknowledging his work in our lives, acknowledging his work in our world. And I really believe that as we live our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit, will we get it wrong? Absolutely. But he forgives us and he helps us and empowers us to go again. And as we do that, we glorify God the Father and the Son, and we start to reflect the love and grace that has been so freely given to us. To us. But the first step in receiving the Holy Spirit in your life is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. So I just want to quickly, if you're in this room with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you've never ever given your life to Jesus, then I want to pray for you this morning that you will encounter him, you'll meet him, and as you say yes to Jesus and he forgives you of everything you've ever done, guarantees your place in heaven, that the Holy Spirit will come and work and live within you in that moment.
.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.